Environmentally friendly. See, they take an old track with a R&B or rap, add a catchy chorus and a catchy video to match. Change a couple words and put a shorty in the back. Create a catchy phrase and a dance for the track. Make a remix, tell the DJ bring it back. Order the track, the fact, the recycling of track. See, that's why it's getting whack. That's why I nod my head and frown every time I hear a ooh from the back. I'm confused because I never hear the truth on the track. They say they keep it real, but they never state the facts. Man, I fear rap's headed on the path. Nobody's original, we steal from the past. It's like everybody took an old school class, cheated on the test, threw the answers in the trash. Skip longevity, that's why they never last. How many one-hit wonders have we had? See, maybe you're cool with it, I'm really, really mad, because that doesn't cover all of it, that's maybe only half. I'm hating on the poets, not studying the craft. Hip-hop's not a job, it's an honorary task. The voice of the people, the painters of a path, the hope for the future, the bridge to the past. See, it's not about you or a chase for the cash. It's about us and a dream once had. A world not ruled by the things of the past, the man not judged by the things that he has. The color of his skin or his economic class. The value of a woman never thrown in the trash. Well, old school and new school don't constantly clash. With church is the school and we all attend class. We should provoke thought with our music. If thought turns to action, it causes a movement. Tell them what the struggle's like. Tell them what your views is. Tell them about the word of God. Tell them no excuses. If rap is a tool, we must carefully use it. We only get one shot, we miss it, and we lose it. We cannot allow any more to abuse it. Christ is the anchor man, tell him what the news is. That we will take back what you took. I hear the high wisdom, you put it in a book. Cause that would be the last place we would ever look. But rap's got a plan that could get the game shook. Put every chapter in a bar, title in the hook. Start with the Bible, 66 books. Genesis is first, let Psalms be the hook. So if rap is a crime, I'm a Christ-driven crook. If every rapper is a leader in a sense, just because he makes money doesn't mean he makes sense. I wish you would examine what his lyrics really meant, because we probably wouldn't clap, we would probably take offense. If every rapper is a leader in a sense, just because he makes money doesn't mean he makes sense. I pray that we examine what his lyrics really meant. Because we should never clap, we should always take offense.
See what happens when you let young people speak for themselves? They just might surprise you. The poem you just heard was from a young adult by the name of Charles Jones, who is a member of Project Peace, which is an after-school project that helps to bring hip-hop to some Philadelphia schools. Jones, who is barely out of college himself, was one of hundreds of youth that packed into the auditorium at the Germantown Friends School for the 4th annual Germantown Poetry Festival, a local event that seeks to highlight the art of spoken word, poetry, and hip-hop among the youth. You'll hear more from them later. Lately, there has been a lot of negative press in regards to young folks. Recently, Philadelphia grabbed national headlines with stories of supposed flash mobs that have gripped parts of the city. Allegedly, a couple hundred kids swarmed popular tourist spots such as South Street in downtown Philadelphia to wreak havoc and engage in violent beatdowns of innocent passerbys. The reports of these flash mobs have spawned plenty of outrage from adults who wondered out loud what's wrong with this new generation. It had also been met with swift response from city officials, including the mayor and the police commissioner, who promised to persecute these children to the fullest extent of the law. Missing from the dialogue, of course, was the children themselves, who have been collectively painted with a broad brush as social misfits. Today on People, Places, and Things, we will be hearing from the very mouth of some of these young people of Philadelphia, particularly the mouths of the Youth Empowerment Group, who organized the Pursuit of Happiness Town Hall meeting to discuss a wide range of youth-related issues, including media perceptions and flash mob. What you'll hear next is audio from the Youth-Led Forum, which was held 2 Saturdays ago in North Philadelphia. Listen next as these young people posed a question to a room of adults about their perception of flash mobbing and the state of youth in general.
How you guys doing today? My name is Derek. I'm 16 years old. I'm a family language trainer at Philadelphia Freedom Schools, and I'm also president and founder of an organization called Child Zero. We branched off from Brothers for Eternity, Sisters for Serenity. Today, I'm going to talk about flash mobs. For the past year, I've been doing research on why teenagers do the things they do, or why youth do the things they do. And I was wondering, like, what's the reason for gangs? I mean, what can I do to stop gangs? And me and this brother right here who's on the camera, Tafiz, he's our vice president, we realized that people join gangs for family. People join gangs because the home situation isn't right. So me and him sat down, we were just thinking, like, all right, what can we do to branch this off to give somebody a family? So we came up with the program called Brothers for Eternity. Brothers for Eternity is for young African men and Latino men to build a family and grow into young men. Right now, you see the people that's in black and red ties. They're members of Brothers for Eternity. That's our colors, black, red, white, and gold. Black stamps symbolizing our past, red symbolizing struggle, white symbolizing cleanliness, and gold symbolizing success. Just recently, we added a sister person called Sister for Serenity, which is the president right here, Shanice. That's what we're doing. So to open this off, I just would like everybody to just, right now, just stop the surveys and just think right now. Like, I don't want you to answer, but I'm gonna ask you various questions. I just want you to think about it. So right now, I would like everybody, when you first heard the word flash mob, how did it make you feel? Or when the media portrayed teenagers going down South Street just to tear up things, having nothing else to do, how did it make you feel? When you heard the commissioner on the TV, he's talking about he's no one, I can't really remember what he said, but he's no one's father or mother. How did that make you feel? Or when you see teenagers dying on a corner, or you see teenagers struggling on a corner, when you see teenagers' pregnancies, 14, 15-year-olds with babies walking around with strollers, when you see the dropout rates increasing, when you see schools getting burnt down, schools getting shut down because there's not a lot of students, how do that make y'all feel? Like, I honestly feel that the youth plays an important role because we're the future. I mean, I think that the youth rely on the adults too much. And I think, honestly, I think a lot of adults give up on the youth, you ask me. And right now, I really just want the adult's opinion right now. I'll come to the youth later, but I just want the adult's opinion. Like, when you first heard about the flash mob, how did that make y'all feel?
I was frustrated first because I was with Freedom Schools since 2001. And, meetings like this, where you have youth pretty much leading the conversations, I've seen that for years. I've seen meetings with hundreds of young teenagers of color just being positive and talking about the future and educating about the past. And I've seen trainings where thousands of college students and high school students will come and give each other hugs and talk about helping the community. Never did I see Fox News or Action News cover that. I've never seen a magazine an editor from a magazine asking people questions to put it in their magazine. I've never seen any of that stuff as the top story in the news. But immediately when children from our community come together because they have nothing to do, because the programs keep being stripped away and the support is continuously taken away, immediately when our children are caught up in something remote, something that's just happened to have happened right there, it's immediately on the news and it's labeled flash mob, or it's immediately labeled a gang. Where if that happens in another community, it's two groups of friends conflicted. It is the labeling and the media coverage that makes our community look the way it does. And that goes into the minds of the children of our communities. And so they think that their community is all about violence and flash mobs, where right in their backyards, there are hundreds of teenagers, just like yourself, leading meetings like this, promoting positive cultural education. And so it really frustrated me. So that's
what I'm.
Anyone else?
When I first heard about it, my first reaction was I was alarmed and I was concerned. And I was like, what's going on? What's happening? Why are my kids, my family down there, doing what they're doing? And then I started to question myself as I'm following the news. I'm like, well, what's going on? Is it destructive? Were you was it just a gathering? I don't even know what this flash mob thing is. I'm still trying to figure out what the meaning of it is. And then I got totally suspicious of what the media was trying to tell me. Like, is this something that is negative? Because we have a right to gather. We can gather, we can come together, we can sit, we can talk for any reason. We don't want them to take that from us. But what happens is when we gather as a culture, as a folk, then they get alarmed and they get scared. What's going on? And I say they think that we're becoming illuminated and awake to things. But I got kind of concerned. Now, I watched the news, I think, a couple of days later, and there was a flash mob on 30th Street that were all white kids, and they said, okay, here's a flash mob, but there was no problems, it was all peaceful. And I'm like, well, what? Wait a minute. So this flash mob is labeled as destructive. They, keep your kids at home. We're not going to be, bothered with this. But this flash mob, oh, look at this peaceful gathering. So now I've got two different descriptions of a flash mob. Now I'm totally confused. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So now I'm just trying to ask myself, what is the message that they're trying to tell me about my people, my culture, my kids, and my youth? That they can't come together without destroying things, that they can't come together without, bringing up some kind of fear, that they can't come together and just to come together. I don't know. I got totally, totally confused about this whole thing. And maybe I'll get some clarity. I think the kids are coming together maybe out a little bit of frustration. Maybe it's not necessarily negative, but trying to find out what to do with the energy because our youth need things. They need things. They've taken everything from us, and this is telling us you need to pay attention. You need to give us something. Give us something to fill a void. Give us something to fill this void so we can be constructive, so we can be a people, so we can be progressive. And it's oppressing. I'm going to shut up because I'm about to go somewhere else with this. But that's my feeling.
When I first heard about the flash mobs, I was very alarmed about it.
when I heard the word mob, it made me feel threatened as an older person. Mobs are used for destructions.
Yes.
The word mob is used for Italians when they had the mob, and it's all killings and things like that. So I was really concerned that our youth was labeled like that. On the other hand, that 30th Street gathering of the Caucasian people was called social networking. And it was definitely something different. They call our youth mobs when they gather. And they call other races social networks. They're doing it with the snowball fights, and they were doing it with the just coming together. They're having one up in one of the colleges. They're having a beer fest. But it's okay. It's not going to be a mob, as our youth are called. It's going to be a social gathering. So we have to look at the different terminology that the media and that other people portray of us as a race. We cannot believe everything that's on the news when they talk about the youth and when they talk about the things that the youth are doing. Social network this. I don't want to say mobs because I don't like that word. But social network on events like this. Don't let this be your last one. It's a positive thing that you're doing. And we all have to understand that it's okay to be angry, but let's channel that anger in another direction and not beat up on ourselves. And not beat up on older people, and beat up on the youth, and throw trash cans through windows and things like that. That's just not the answer. You know, they do that when they had the Phillies game, and they tore Broad Street down and what have you. It was not a mob. These were happy fans. You know, but they did the same thing, knocked down poles. But when you youth do these things, you see, it's something. Society is afraid of you guys.
Absolutely.
You understand? This is something that you have to understand. They are afraid of you. Because if you showed your true potential,
that's right,
and the things that you could do, and the things that you're capable of doing, you could run this whole entire world.
Yes.
And what they need you to do is, what I need you to do is to recognize that fact that you have greatness in you. That you don't have to run around, and I'm singing to the choir because it's not you guys that I really need to be talking to. But you can channel those things into positive things that you can do for yourself. And I'm here to help you. My name is Carla Pearson, and I have a foundation called SAVE, Students Against Violent Environments.
Real quick, you said something that really like hit me like a couple seconds ago. You said that you wouldn't just talk to us. But we believe that a generation can't be a generation unless everyone is playing a part of it. So we can't be our generation either is going to go down a hill, our generation is either going to go up. So that's if you're looking at it as us, I mean, like at Freedom School, we believe we're our brothers and sisters keepers. If I'm sitting here and I see someone doing wrong and I don't see nothing about it, if I don't say anything about it, I'm just in the wrong as he is or she is. Like if I'm sitting here and I see someone struggling, I'm not helping, I'm just in the wrong. So if you're looking at it, we're in the wrong just as much as everyone else in the wrong. But now we're trying to fix where we messed up. Everyone makes mistakes, but it's only a mistake when you learn from it.
If somebody has to tell you you made a mistake, because if nobody tells you that you made a mistake,
you never know.
You just keep on going. Like, this is the norm. This is what you're supposed to be. So it should be just as many youth, parents, adults, as it is youth out here saying the same thing. Because it was dropped on you. It was totally dropped on you. It was no fault of you guys' own. You know, somewhere the ball fell on the floor. We didn't pick it up and hand it to you guys right. We had the civil rights movement. We had, you know, all these people, Jesse Jackson, Martin Luther King. You want to name them, yeah, Black History Month, you name them all. But somewhere we stopped. Mm-hmm. We have to take responsibility for the fact that somewhere down the line, we stopped and failed you guys. And we should be here for you.
I'm going to add to what this woman, Carla Pearson, is saying here. I agree within reason. And the reason why I say within reason is because there were things that happened to our community that destroyed our community. We had drugs, but nothing ever hit our community like crack.
Right.
crack ruined the structure of our community. It affected black women, which was, has been the backbone of our, was saved, not the black men didn't, but we were here with the families, you know? So that impacted us. So that was major, and that was a distraction. And when you're distracted, you can't, when you're distracted, you can't perform. You with me on that? And this is what our government and our media is also designed to do. They're designed to put out the, these distractions so that we now focus on that while something else is over here that needs to be focused on is not being focused on. So at the end of the day, I don't know that there's any one solution because it's so big. It, this, this problem is so huge. And it's, you know, the one thing that I can share is that what Ms. Teresa was saying, Pearson was saying, is here's one thing that I learned as I came up, as I've been coming up and still growing and still evolving, is 90%, 10% of life is what happens to you, but 90% is how you respond to it. So as it relates to what she was saying in terms of, you know, when things go on, we have anger management, you don't have to respond. Just know that it's a very small portion of that. Whatever happens, you can just keep it moving. You have so much more as young folk that you can do. And as she said, there is tremendous greatness in you, but you have to be around that. You have to surround yourself around good stuff. But that's where I believe we kind of drop the ball. So that's where that void that's empty needs to be filled. We need to create these, we have to find out what you want, what you think you want, and create that. The school system is one of them, you know? And then there's other activities within our communities. The one thing that I've been trying to put together is a little league. You know, little leagues for the kids in the area, local little league. We have some, but there's not nearly enough. And athletic activities are always huge, you know? So there's a lot of things. We need to brainstorm and find out what we want. And the other thing is we cannot have our hand out expecting anybody to give us anything.
No way.
That ain't going, that's, and if it comes, it's going to come at a lower quality. So when you breed lower quality, that's what you get. You know what I mean? So if you're getting but not food that's not good for you, garbage in, garbage out. Simple as that. You know? So there's stuff that we have to identify and see how we can grab a hold of and how we can create the resources. Because we have, number one, we consume. We are the number one consumers. And you know what consuming is? When you're consuming a beverage, when you're consuming food, we consume. So our money needs to be distributed in a different capacity. And that will allow us to be able to provide for ourselves. So that's economics. That's a whole other story.
I have a question for some of the young people. You know, we as adults, we've been around a while, and you know, a lot of these issues are not new to us. We have been fighting poverty and ignorance since we were kids, since the civil rights struggle. And a lot of that history is not given to you guys. You do not know what it took for us to get here. And when we got here, like it's been said, we had dropped the ball. Now, one of the things that there were lions in our community who spoke up about injustice, about poverty. And those politicians and those leaders have died off. And then we have the self-serving politicians who are there for another agenda. But there were people who were trying to stop what was going on. There was a lady named C. Dolores Tucker who was trying very, 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 very hard to stop the music industry from giving, feeding, and us consuming, our kids consuming, negative connotations about us. Because when I ask some kids about what a mob is, they say money over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of that was portrayed through Puffy, Russell Simmons, Jay-Z, and all them guys got rich because the Jewish record companies, that's what they were selling. So when you see a video, when you hear music now, you bobbing your head to ignorance. You're not bobbing your head to what we bobbed our heads to. So when we say we dropped the ball, We let people infiltrate our community with a lot of negative connotations and a lot of negative images. And we can't blame you guys for that. The school systems that we tried to build, it wasn't not our collective efforts, because now we have doctors, activists, we have doctors, this, doctor, and the schools are worse than they were when we was kids. So a lot of this has to come from the ground up. We cannot, you know, as adults, because a lot of you have come up in single family homes where the mothers are struggling and the fathers are in the penitentiaries and they're struggling with unemployment issues. But it's real important that the youth, from the bottom up, demand what they need in their own communities. You have to be an advocate for yourself. And we will support you, because in all sincerity, nothing's going to happen if you guys won't demand it. I was just talking to a lady, and she was just stumbled on watching the Eye on the Prize the other night. And that's something that you guys don't even know nothing about. There was a time when you had a meeting like this, and white people would come here, kick this door down, and whip all of us. So we have to go back to some things. And when you guys discuss in these breakout sessions what it is that needs to be done, you have to be more collective in your thinking and in your gathering. Because they have the new Jim Crow, which is called mass incarceration. Mm-hmm. And those of us who are not aware of it will be made felons. Mm-hmm. And once you become a felon, you have been excluded from this society. Mm-hmm. And at the unemployment rate, the way it is not never going down. So we have to be producers of our own goods and services. Mm-hmm. We have to be consuming our own goods and services. And you guys are going to have to leave that march. You're going to have to know how to spend your money, because now Wall Street is making plenty of money, but we ain't. So there's a lot of issues, the issues are systemic. They are huge. They are across the country. But it's very important that the young people get a hold of what it's going to take you guys to change your future.
I want to make one suggestion. This is for a session. The session is really about the young people. I know adults, although we have a lot to say, it's really important. One way we produce a youth movement is by encouraging people to speak. So what I would really suggest is that within this session, that we hear more voices from young people than we hear from adults. Adults want to support or add historic reference to something that's positive, but we want to also make sure young people have 90% of the state of communication within this session. So if you can support that, I really appreciate it.
Not surprisingly, the adults had plenty to say about the state of youth affairs. But what do the kids think? We'll find out later, but now we'll hear from some more young people who performed at this year's Germantown Poetry Festival, which also happened the same day as the Pursuit of Happiness Forum. Sponsored by Youth Adelphia, the fourth annual festival prides itself on empowering youth voices and uniting communities. This year's event was mostly organized by a team of poets from high schools across Northwest Philadelphia, who performed alongside festival alumni and teachers. As mentioned before, this event happened around the same time as the Pursuit of Happiness Forum. Therefore, I missed most of the younger poets' presentations. However, what you'll hear next is just a sample of poems from some of the alumni of the festival.
He kept secrets, next to hidden acorns in his hollows. I sat under his shade on rainy days, listening to him sway whispers of poems in my ear, and he spit the truth like CO2. So I took a comfortable spot on his roots, although I knew not how deep they ran. You see this man? Yo, he had tendencies to lie like George Washington with cherry trees, but he was so beautiful when he bloomed behind that mic. Despite the fact he had to sprout through Harlem and Austin and Philly's cracks of crack and concrete, he had this Brooklyn swagger that was mean. And on lean, his vines, they stretch through city streets. He is the page, he is the stage. It's made of what he is. And sometimes, y'all, secretly, I wish that would be me. And I know he'll be measured somewhere beyond redwoods and tower over everyone like palm trees, but from his canopy, he really hasn't overseen that his words are his seeds, and every time he speaks, one is planted. Granted, brothers, that creates responsibility to not only beautifully portray your statements, but to mean what you say and when you say them, so keep your word to her. Like carved lovers' initials etched in your bark. Create action. Be that majestic oak tree who was once just a tiny nut that stood his ground. Be the sound of turning leaves in that autumn breeze. Because brothers, you represent an everlasting change, which is possible. Because all of you are remarkable, and I've been fortunate enough just in these past minutes to watch you grow thus far. So absorb every last ounce of the sun that you can, with your mighty branches reach for the stars. But most of all, just stand tall and keep straight the spine of your trunk, because if no one else does, I have faith you will not just end up another young man stumped.
Crying, and God, he don't see me drying my tears, and these streets get so hot to hell when beholding me, I got some many dudes in the block that I won't be lonely. All good to pray, the for the beads on the rosary. So what you preaching? And behind bars, the Muslims is teaching the same thing. So my mind changes to Allah praying. So my name ain't Johnson no more, it's Muhammad. The old me's gone. But when I get home like a long time crack addict, I'm back at it. So unless there's a place reserved for hard heads like me in the sky, when you get there, tell God I said hi. And that's why I ain't quitting. Because this is God's mission. Me saying I can't spit is like OJ saying a glove don't fit on my eyelids. And no, I ain't perfect. I've just been dust off and brushed up. But at this moment, I feel like this gift is why I'm breathing. I ain't saying I'm a big deal with Dawn. I must be a big reason why these streets gon' feel brand new like the change of season. The power of intelligence over ignorance. Courage over contentment. Prosperity over paper. And if y'all want to be my witness now, go ahead and testify, man.
Drinking was as foreign as the idea of landing on the sun. Thank you.
That was some pretty powerful stuff, right? For more information about the Germantown Poetry Festival and to see clips of other cool poetry, visit www.germantownpoetryfestival.org. Now we'll return back to the Pursuit of Happiness Forum, which again was organized by the Youth Empowerment Group. We heard what the adults had to say about flash mobbing. Now we'll hear from the youth about their impressions on flash mobbing and what they feel is lacking in terms of their own development.
I was going to open the floor up to the youth, and I was going to start. I'm 17 years old. My name is Shanice Thompson. He introduced me before. I'm also a Fannie Lou Hamer trainer at Philadelphia Freedom Schools. And a lot of the things you referenced, we do know about. We watch Eye on the Prize on the way to training. And the thing is that back in those times, the things you're talking about, the youth was leading the marches. Parents were like, don't you go down to that march. No, I'm going to jail. I got to go to jail. We have a party in jail because it's not right. You see what I'm saying? So the youth used to have that drive to say that this is not right, we're going to make a difference. I think from that time, from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s, we've gotten tired. People have become content with what is and not thinking about what could be. They're like, this is just what it is and it's not going to change. And people are okay with that when it's not okay. So, you know, and then you talked about the music industry. You know, where are our Mahalia Jacksons at? We don't have that. Who is Nicki Minaj? Who is this child? Who's her mother? Because I need to know why this is who our young people are looking up to. You see what I'm saying? We need those figures back into our communities because when you talk about things like that, because there are no programs, people go home and watch TV. They turn on the TV, what do they see? They see Nicki Minaj, they see 50 Cent, or whoever these people are, because I don't know them. But, you know, it's a lot of things, like it is a trickle down effect. It's a lot of things that are going on in the communities that can be remedied just by a program. Like we talk about Philadelphia Freedom Schools a lot, but that's only because it's done a lot for us. We've seen the effects of Philadelphia Freedom Schools. I'm a product of Philadelphia Freedom Schools. I've been in this program for 4 years. I will be going to Howard in the fall. The program has given me so much, not just, you know, education-wise. Yes, it offers those tools that you need for critical thinking and different things about that, but it's taught me about myself. Like Stephanie was saying, you have to know yourself. Like you said, a lot of people don't know about Eyes on the Prize. They don't know about Mahalia. They don't know about Malcolm. They need to know these things because, yes, they do come from greatness. They need something to look at and say, you know what, he stood up. Even though he went to jail, he did this, he did that, he was wrong, he came out and he said, you know what, this ain't right and I'm going to fix it. He knew he was going to die. He knew that. And you have to recognize that you can't be scared. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't scared. I ain't never going to be scared. Like, this is a cause that I will say that I would die for and people need that drive again. You know what I'm saying? We had to uplift our people as a whole. And like you said, this drugs and stuff like that, it's true. The drugs have come into our community, but you got to look at what's going on. If these drug dealers knew the repercussions of their actions, I think that a lot of this stuff would be solved. A lot of this stuff would be solved. And there are a lot of underlying issues, but I think if the youth bands together like we did in the 60s and 70s, we can make a difference. So if the youth had anything to say, please.
A question I like to ask the youth, not to don't say what they had to say, but right now it's our time. So what can we do to shine? What can we do to step up like our paths? Something we believe at Philadelphia School is Sankofa, and let me go back and fetch. I mean, go back to your history.
Yeah.
So that's what we're about to do right now for the youth. I'm not gonna put you on the spot, but can all of you just stand up right now? Just stand up and look around and look at your peers. Just realize that when right now you see all the adults was here already. Adults seen everything, but right now is your time. So I would like starting with this brother right here. I would like for you to like just. I want everyone to just say one thing. Like, what can we do with the flash mob, and what can adults do to help us become more successful in the future? So. Oh yeah, can you please state your name, just your name, and then answer the question.
My name is Darren. What I think we should do is how after school programs, they're only fit for young kids in middle school, like from K to 8th. But when you get the 9th grade, right after school, some people go to work, but after school, some people also just go home and they go outside and play basketball. When if they go to after school program, they can do the same thing, but they can learn more also. They can learn more about playing, they go and play football, they can learn math by playing football at after school program. So they're getting some type of knowledge out of it instead of just going out with their friends and playing football, then going to after school and playing football.
Can I hear what school they go to? Say your name
and
school.
I
go to Lincoln Environmental and Science Management.
My
name is Darian. I'm 12 and I go to Junior Master. And I don't really understand everything that I'm here to learn. But one topic is that I think that we can encourage people to do everything. It's like they encourage people to listen to this artist and everything. We can encourage people to focus on their education and do better to do what they need to do.
My name is Lee Henry, and I go to St. Rock. I think we could do to like, get rid of the flash mob and everything is to like get the youth more involved in the community. Because like if they're not involved and they just going out to hang out with their friends, of course they're going to like go out and cause destruction. So we need to put them in, like, we need to get them to do something constructive, something positive for their community so they can, you know, change and help change what we're doing.
Better
future.
Not all of the like exactly what, you know what I mean? It's like we gotta actually, we wanna, you know, create something to do now. So it's like you saying that, can you specify like what exactly to do to get them more involved in the community?
I mean, like whatever like they like to do.
What do you like to do?
I'm a musician, so I like to play drums and everything. So I'm getting involved with it. I'm always constantly at the studio and whatever, making albums and whatever, so.
Does your school have a music program?
Yeah, we do.
Do they fund it? Is it active? Are they engaging with what type of music that you like to have? Listen to it or take in?
No, we just have like the jazz band and the orchestra.
So the music program is specifically speaking to you. So in a sense you want to see programs, maybe programs that fund the arts and music, the programs that get students engaged.
Yeah, these programs to like teach kids how to be successful, because you know everybody wants to be successful. So like get kids involved. Like people want to be successful, so we gotta like get kids involved in programs about how to be successful and everything. So.
My name is Keisha. I take chemistry classes at school. One thing I think we should do is like have study groups or like basically like tutoring. Because like, if you have your education, you can do things, like you can become doctors and stuff. But like, in school, they always say like, stay in school. And if you get your education, or if you're pushed to get your education, you will like, you can change it. Because like, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or like a teacher, you can like teach other people about like just doing what they need to do and like staying off the streets.
My name is Emil Tyler, and I would say push the help in overall recreation centers, because like the recreation center I used to go to, it had like a after school program. You could go and do your homework and help you, and you could also like go and play basketball, football, and stuff like that. So.
We're asking you to like, speak a little louder, but we're actually trying to record this because we want everybody's ideas and put it into our project. So y'all like to speak a little louder.
Okay. My name is Gregory Brown. I go to Capital Charter School, and I think one way we could just have more activities for us to get into and stuff like that. Like basketball programs or football programs or baseball programs, something like that.
My name is Amanda. I go to Capital Charter School, and I think that if the youth is able to come together to do things destructive, then it should be easy for us to come together to do something positive. And I also think that some public schools and charter schools don't always teach accurate information, and I think that if African American and Latino children really know like the proper history, then they may understand what their ancestors went through for them to be here and for them to take advantage of it. Then it's kind of just wasting ancestors' energy for them to be to have the advantages for some of the things they are able to do today. But yeah, so.
Hi, my name is Jamira Burley. I'm a student at Temple, and I represent the Philadelphia Youth Commission. I'm a firm believer that there's no one cause of youth violence, and that is a perpetuated idea that continues to root itself in the youth community. But I do believe that one thing that we can try to focus on is the ignorance that embodies itself in the youth community, either from ignorance of lack of knowledge about what happened in the past, or about ignorance where people don't know the real power behind their voice or the power behind numbers. The fact that someone sent a text message or was able to get hundreds of people to one location just shows you that youth do have a voice and can put power behind numbers, and that it's just about channeling that kind of power in a positive direction.
I think that we have way too many like discipline things at school and not enough things for students that do things positive. Like in my school, we had like schools that's on honor roll and come to school every day, they really don't get recognized for things that they do. And like schools that you say like they act out, they get put in all these programs and really like get a lot of recognition. And with the students that aren't like are honor roll and come to school every day, they feel as though that I'm doing all this and they getting all the shine, they getting all this attention, so they start to fall off a little bit.
Y'all know, I'll say, my name is Derek, and I'm from Lincoln All Environmental Science Magnet High School. And something I realize is, I think we need to be taught that there's people that make money other than sports, basketball, and musicians.
So what I was saying was, at Florida Freedom Schools, we do something which we call portfolio. It's a summer portfolio where we do different work. And like I was saying, my academic advisor came to me and said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I told her to play football. So she said, all right, I want you to find how much a football player makes. So I did. And then she said, all right, I want you to find out how much a person who owns their own business, their own law firm, because my second choice was being a lawyer. So I looked it up, and they make the same amount of money, but the person playing football, if he get injured, it's cut. It's no money. But the person, he had money, the lawyer had money to fall back on when he retired. So that go back to my idea. I think that teens need to realize that there's other options out there that you can make money. And I think that something else we should do is give back to our community. I think that we spend a lot of money on different clothing, but you don't know that it's people out there of our race selling our own clothing. So I realized that as well. I also realized that a lot of our people that's on our board of administration, our governor, our everything like that came from Philly, lived in Philadelphia. So I think that we got to realize when we become known and we become successful, we got to give back to our community. I mean, what is it? Our community teaches us and makes us to who we are in the future. What is the only right that we give back? So I want to thank you guys for listening to my presentation at Flash Mobs. Our next presentation is Knowing Your Rights. Thank you.
Youth of today have been bombarded with stories after stories about how bad they supposedly are. Both teens and young adults in their 20s, we are told, are consumed with violence, selfishness, greed, bad work habits, and civic apathy. The attacks on youth is a national pathology unwarranted by facts, which at its core reflects a smokescreen for the failures of adults in leadership to address the larger issues at hand. I once heard the saying, what is done to children, they will ultimately do to society. So if there is a problem with the youth, then it's because the adults, whom they are supposed to learn from, are just as apathetic, selfish, and violent as we think the kids are. Truth of the matter is that most kids are not the devil's spawns as we try to make them out to be. Just like the kids that we heard in the clips, most kids are in school, working jobs, and doing the best they can to figure out this maze called life. Sure, there are some who lack good judgment at times, but ultimately they are no different from the youth from 10, 20, or even 30 years ago. But if nothing you heard today has convinced you that this generation is not reckless and misguided, I ask you, what are you prepared to do to change that? I hope that you enjoyed today's show. Make sure you join us next week for another great edition of People, Places, and Things. To hear this episode again, or to listen to past shows, check out peopleplacesthingsradio.com. So until next time, I am your host, Shireen Ball, wishing you a pleasant Sunday. Peace.